We're live. Glad you're with us tonight. We are getting ready to finish a one-week class on our third week. So we're on a roll. All right. So next week we'll be getting out of the purple book and into book four. I'm not sure if Pastor Obi, can you go find out if Pastor Obi ordered those books yet? But we'll have book four available for you next week, and we'll be able to move forward. If you'd like to purchase one and you're online, you can go to Amazon.com, and you can go Truth, A Rock Solid Faith. It's 1 through 4, or you can get the blue book and the red book, and that has all of the four in it, okay? All right, we covered tithing. How many of you are excited about tithing? Woo-hoo! I wasn't as excited as everybody thought they should have been. I said, aren't you excited about tithing? Woo! Very good. What is a tithe? The tithe is a tenth. It was not a suggestion by God. How many of you know there are times that God makes suggestions? And then there are times God just says, yo, that's mine. And so tithing is holy unto the Lord. That is found in the book of Leviticus, chapter 27. It is God's. So tithing, then we went into alms. Everybody remember what an alm is? An alm is giving down with no expectation in return from that person. The Bible says in the book of Matthew, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. You're giving to poor people, and you're not expecting the poor people to do anything. Now the Bible says, if you give to a poor person and you say, look what I did, I gave to this poor person, the Bible says you now have your reward. So keeping it quiet means that God is going to reward you. How many of you like to be rewarded by God? Amen. So giving to the poor, we're always going to have poor people on the planet. And it's good to give to the poor. But recognizing, and what we do here at His Tabernacle, we give to the poor, but we expect them to come out of poverty with the principles that God has placed in order. So when we sit down and do a budget with people, now, if they ask once for help, we help them. But the second time that they ask for help, we actually make them sit down and do a budget with Miss Carla. Has anybody ever done a budget with Miss Carla? Great. Budget with Miss Carla, she is phenomenal. I would encourage you, if you have not done a budget, my wife used to do them often, but she's not as available, so Miss Carla does them. But if you have never done a budget with Miss Carla, how many of you live off a budget? You wish? You want to learn to live by budgets. Budgets are going to make you successful. There are two types of budgets. You have 80-10-10. That means you live off 80% of your income, you tithe 10% of your income, and you have 10% of your income in an emergency fund. Or the optimum, everybody say optimum, is living 70-10-10-10. That is, you live off 70% of your income, you tithe 10% of your income, you put 10% of your income away for emergencies, and 10 for retirement. If you do 70-10-10-10, you will be absolutely successful and out of poverty, and you'll be an individual that will always have more than enough. Our challenge is that most people haven't been taught. That's why we have a large mass of poor people, as well as a government change in philosophy. When John Adams started the political process, he actually, and I have his book, the philosophy in government was keep the people out of poverty and you'll keep them out of debt, you'll keep them out of ownership and poverty. So keeping people out of debt is the number one priority, or was in our government's start. And about the year 1900, there was a shift in governmental process to where get the people in poverty or get them in debt and the government will own them. And that's what's happened now. Most people are owned by the government. They're owned by the banks. And therefore, what's happened is people aren't free. And there needs to get back to freedom. We have literally generations of people that are on welfare. Welfare is and was created for a good reason. Welfare in itself is not a bad thing. But what's happened is over the years, they've perpetuated that process to be generational. What that does, actually, it keeps a generation in ownership to the government. For without the government, they can't pay their bills. And so we want to break that, amen? As church folk, we want to come out of that. If you're living in that, we want you to come out of that. And we're going to give you the principles. First principle is tithing. If you're not tithing, God's not involved in your finances. If you're not tithing, we know it affects your relationship with God. If you're not tithing, you know that God is not going to rebuke the devourer from your finances. It's important to be a tither. Then as you give in alms, God's going to bless you there. Now, where the real return of your money is, how many of you know you want a return? I've never seen anybody invest in something and say, well, you know, I didn't really expect anything out of it anyways. If you do say that, then that means you're probably not a good investor, and you shouldn't do that for a living. Amen? People are going to hate you. Hi, what happened to my money? Oh, I don't know. I had a good hunch on this one. It never made anything. I hope you don't mind. I lost you $300,000. That would not go over well. How many of you know that you could be on the hit list? And we're not talking the top 10. Okay? So as an investor, you want to make sure that you're going to get a return on your money. And most people don't realize that God also has this same process in the kingdom of God. It's called the law of reciprocity. Everybody say that. The law of reciprocity. The word there is law. What is law? What is a law? A rule? An order? How many of you know if you break the law, you're a lawbreaker? How many ever got a ticket? How many of you have never had a ticket ever in your life? How many of you just never got caught? Move on. Laws are to keep people safe. The speed limit is 85, amen. It's actually yesterday when we were coming back from Kentucky, we were moving right along, and we were going through, I don't remember what town it was, but we passed somebody, and my wife had looked at the person in the car, and they were waving at her as we passed them at 85. Yeah, this Sunday I'm going to have to repent a little bit or repaint and thin no more, one or the other. So there is a principle, and that is God wants you to be able to get a return from your giving. It's called the law of reciprocity. And we find it, actually, it's one of the very first laws. How many of you were here when I taught the year of the kingdom? The year of the kingdom. If you were not here for the year of the kingdom, the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. But if you don't know what the kingdom is, how can you seek it first? It's a real problem. So I did a whole year on the kingdom. I would encourage you to go to our YouTube page, His Tabernacle, and there's a YouTube page, and go back and watch the sermons on the kingdom. And then the next year, we did the year of kingdom seed. Why did we do the year of kingdom seed? Because one of the very first laws that God ever instituted was the law of the seed, the law of reciprocity. So this is not a new principle. This is an old principle that goes all the way back to the book of Genesis, chapter 1, verse 12. And it says this. The earth brought forth grass, and the herb that yields seed according to the kind, and the tree that yields fruit, whose seed is in itself according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. So life is in the seed. So the third type of giving is called seeding. You'll hear that talked about in church. A lot of people say, what is that? We're going to teach you that. That's why you're in class. Turn to someone and say, you are so smart for being here tonight. When God created the heavens and the earth, what he did not do was create something that could not reproduce itself. The Bible says life is in the seed. Can you imagine if life was not in the seed? You'd go out every spring, you'd plant the grass. Winter would come, you get up in the spring, and you'd have to plant the grass. Everything would be How many of your yards would be brown because you don't have time to plant the grass? We'd have a lot of brown yards or a lot of weeds. No, there'd be no weeds because there'd be no life in itself. How many of you have a weed that kind of takes over your life? No, I'm not talking weed. I'm talking like, we have these weeds. I don't know what they are near my house, but man, they're climbing everything at my house. They're climbing everything. They got a little beautiful flower on it, but they're climbing everywhere at my house. I got to go and tear them down. It's just a weed. What is a weed? It's a plant. The problem is that all things have life in themselves. God created seed to have life in itself. This is the principle of seed time and harvest. God created this. In fact, what's amazing when people don't realize is that God even keeps process to himself. What I mean by that is this. God holds himself to the same laws he created for you and I. How many of you know that God, there was a Garden of Eden? How do you think that garden got there?
And God said, let there be garden, and there was.
No, the Bible says that God planted the garden. Even God himself, when he created the Garden of Eden, didn't call it into existence. He actually planted it. Why? Because God himself has made himself restricted to the law of seed time and harvest. The book of Galatians makes the statement, whatever man sows, that shall he also reap. If a man sows to the flesh, he shall of the flesh reap corruption. If a man sows to the spirit, he shall of the spirit reap eternal life. Do not be deceived. Whatever man sows, that shall he also seed time and harvest. This principle goes all the way back to the book of Genesis chapter 1, where God put life within the seed. So whatever type of seed you plant is the harvest you're going to receive. If you don't like your life, you've got to look at the seed you've planted to get that life. You are the culmination of the seed you planted. This is where you and I as believers, we've got to get back to the principle of understanding that you can never run from seed time and harvest. In fact, I remember the bishop, somebody walked up to the bishop one time and said, is that all you do is talk about seed? Why don't you talk about the Bible? And the bishop looked at him and said, well, Matthew 13 says the Bible is the seed. Everything is seed. Everything we do, everything we say, our words are seed. The Bible says life and death are in the power of the tongue, and those who use it will eat of it. Well, what are you going to eat? You're going to eat from the harvest that you planted with your tongue. Everything we do, the Bible says, as a man thinks, so he is. As a man is, or out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So what happens is seed time and harvest, even to your thought processes. I did a whole series in that year of the seed. I did a whole series on how you think. And the amazing part about how your mind physically, physiologically, the better you think, the more you think on God's word, the more you think encouraging words, you literally create thought trees in your brain. You physically are creating with seeds of thoughts. So powerful. Everything that you and I are wrapped around are wrapped around the seed. And so God has this as one of the principles dealing with financial blessing. So how many of you want to have more? How many of you don't want to have more? We're excited that you raise your hand, whoever you are. This way we know you're going to be a greater giver. Amen. And that next time they offer you a raise, you'll say, no, thank you. You just give it to my church. That's good. Most people, we all want more. Well, you know, money is the root of all evil. No, the love of money is the root of all evil. Money is nothing more than a piece of paper. Sadly enough, 30 cents on the dollar. It's just a piece of paper. It's a way of exchange. So money itself can't be evil, but what you do with the money or how you allow the money to own you. Remember, there's nothing wrong with having nice things. The problem is when the things own you. So this principle of seed time and harvest goes all the way back to the book of Genesis and is directly connected to your money. Let's look at some things. Here we go. la, 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 la. Matthew chapter 4, 26 through 29, and it says this. The kingdom of God is as. Now, I need you to understand that. Jesus is actually teaching us how God's kingdom works. Now, how many of you know that when you got saved, you became a dual citizen? You became a citizen, you're a citizen on earth, but you also became the citizen of heaven. In fact, you became the adopted son and daughter of God himself. What's amazing is at that moment, you changed laws. You are no longer controlled by the laws of this world, but you are controlled by the laws of the kingdom. That's why seed time and harvest works in our lives. Because the law of God is yea and amen. So when we understand the law of God and how God works in the law, the Bible says the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed. Let me read that again. The kingdom of God is if a man shall scatter seed on the ground and should sleep by night, rise by day, the seed should sprout and grow. He himself does not know how, for the earth yields crop by itself. First the blade, then the head, after that the full grain in the head. But when the grain ripens, immediately he puts it in the sickle because the harvest has come. How does harvest come? Through the planting of a seed. So what happens? Let's just talk about this on a Sunday morning. Sunday morning, well, my wife gets up, she shares the gospel. Why do we do that every single week? Because there are so many people here who do not tithe. We're praying that God will move on their hearts to be tithers. Why? Because the church needs more money? No, because we want you to be blessed. You aren't the source. We've had people, man, walk up and give $25,000 checks, $50,000 checks. We've had people do amazing supernatural things as God has led them. Some of them were not even part of this church. One lady came up and gave gave $25,000, didn't even go to the church. She was Catholic from her background, but felt God led her to do that. You see, this is not about the church getting more money out of you. This is about the church getting money into you through God's principles. So tithing is like getting the ground ready. When a person doesn't tithe, then the ground is fallow. What does that mean? It's all dirt. It's all clumped up. It's all rocky. But the Bible says, break up the fallow ground, talking about our hearts. When we learn to obey God, we're breaking up the fallow ground so the seed will have a place to go. Somebody said to me, well, I'm going to give a seed. And I said, do you tithe? They said, no. Then I said, you can't give a seed. You can't give a seed if you've not tithed. You can't get a harvest in your finances if you're not a tither. God will not rebuke the devourer if you're not a tither. It is to your benefit to be a tither. And remember, this is the only place in the Word of God that God says, test me in this thing. Means God will prove himself to you. So as a tither, you position yourself to have the ground ready. And God says, Jesus said, this is how the kingdom works. A man takes seed and he puts it in the ground. He doesn't even know how it works. I just felt somebody touch my back. That was weird. So, sorry, it stopped me. It was something. That I just don't like it. Don't touch me. So when I'm at weddings and people are taking photographs, says, you can do anything, be over my shoulder, but don't touch me. That is Mark chapter 4, verses 26 and 20 through 29. So the principle, or as the kingdom works, is this. A man plants seed. He doesn't know how it works because the life is in the seed. We can't figure that out. It just works. It always works. The seed is in there. Now, I actually, when I preached this message years ago, could you go in my office? If you sit in my desk, you'll see that high plant that sits right there. In the bottom of that, you'll find a corn cob. Bring that corn cob out to me. When I preached a sermon 3 years ago on the seed and kingdom seed, I gave everybody a piece of corn. I said, take it home and plant it. And watch, it will grow. If you put it in the ground and water it, it will grow. And I actually had, I don't think many people actually did that. But we had a young lady come back, and she said, look at Pastor. I did it. This 3 years ago. She said, I planted one seed and look what I got. Every corn cob has, I think it's 600 and some odd kernels to it. That's a pretty good return. Now, if you are willing, I am willing to give you one of these seeds. Who would like to plant one of these seeds? What do you mean? No, because, watch, the seed, even though it looks dead, life is in the seed. They actually dug up a tomb. And when they dug up a tomb, they found seeds. Do you know what they did with them? They were thousands and thousands of years old. They planted them, and guess what happened? They grew. Why? Life is in the seed. The sooner you get a hold of this principle, the sooner that you're going to see increase in your finances. You do not get increase from tithing. Let me help you here. You have a Lamborghini. Go chick. You didn't even hit hands. Go chick. She has a yellow Lamborghini, yellow and black. Bumblebee. Like your shoes. And I said to her, can I borrow your Lamborghini? Had a full tank of gas, so I went and I borrowed her Lamborghini, and I rode around all day long, and I brought it back, and I cleaned it. I made sure it was all buffed out, and I made sure there was not a kernel or not even a piece of McDonald's French fry on the floor. I made sure that the gas tank was filled all the way up, and I brought it back and parked it back in her yard, and I walked in, and I said, I cleaned it and everything. And she'd look at me and say, yeah? You mean you brought it back the same way you took it? Why would she be shocked? It was not mine to keep. It was mine to bring back properly. The tithe is not yours to keep. You know, we talk about people, come give your tithe to the Lord. You don't have any tithe. That's not yours to have. How can you give something to somebody that already owns it? She already owns that car. I can't give her that car. When I brought it back, better, you know, just as good as I did it, did I do anything special? No, it was already hers. It's the same principle. And so here, when we're talking about seed, it's different. Because seed, you can actually name your seed. You can actually determine your harvest. My wife and I live this on a constant basis. Actually, I was just talking to a young man just today, and he said he seeded a gift to a man of God of over $2,000. And his wife saw what he did and said, what did you do? He said, well, I seeded this into this man of God. And he said by the end of that month, he'd made $22,000. My wife and I can tell you time and time and time again how many times we have sown, and many times even before we've gotten back to the house, we've already reaped. Now, seed time and harvest doesn't always work that quickly. Can I hear an amen? When you all plant those, it's going to take you more than a day to get a crop. But what's amazing is seed time and harvest does this. One kernel of corn produces what? A stalk. On every stalk is 2 to 3 ears. On every ear is at least 600. Somebody look that up real quick. How many corn kernels on a corn cob? Is it 600? I think it is, isn't it? I'm pretty positive. I said 600, 600, huh? This little light of mine. 800 kernels. So you sow one, and you can get up to 2,400 from one seed. So it's important that you know that if you want to see increase in your finances, you've got to become a seeder. Now, I'm smart. I am smart. Let me tell you how we seed. We call it perpetual seeding. So we seed every single week. Why? I want an every week harvest. If I want something to happen more often, in fact, farmers, they can plant, I wish Richie was here. I believe you plant up to corn 3 different times in the year. You can get actually 3 different harvests depending on when you plant your crop. And I want you to realize that you and I, as believers, this seed principle of seed time and harvest, you can be a perpetual planter, a perpetual seeder, as you are giving to the Lord into good ground, and you will find that you will constantly have money coming in. Or it doesn't have to be money, because whatever you plant for is what you're expecting. If you plant for peas, you're expecting to get. If you're planting for corn, you're expecting to get. If you're planting for wheat, you're expecting to get. So we don't always plant for money. There are times, in fact, my wife and I have been planting seeds since 1991. You'll notice that this church has a lot of men. And I'm not talking sissy girly men. We have a lot of men in this church. That did not happen on accident. When Brother Ted Shuttlesworth came to our church way back in 1991, we saw a massive outpouring of the Holy Spirit amongst men. I'm talking like brawny, harsh, men who were never serving God. And man, they got saved. That church was being filled with men. And we said this, he has an anointing to bring in men, so we're going to sow into Brother Ted. And we've been sowing into Brother Ted since 1991. For what reason? Not for more money in return. We are seeding for men to be saved. Have you seen so many men get saved in this church? That's not an accident. That's a part of our reaping. Seed time and harvest. It is how God works in his kingdom. This is how the kingdom works. The kingdom of God is as a man scatters seed because the harvest has come. If you plant no seed, you get no harvest. Let me say it again. You plant no seed, you get no harvest. I've told this story, but I love this story. It goes many years back because my children are now 28 and 27. But I remember when Cody and Chad were believing God for a drum. Chad was believing God for a drum kit, and Cody was believing God for a bass and an amp. They couldn't have been any more than 6 and 7 years old. It was actually when we first started, when we were in the square. We had just gotten into the square. So a year and a half, 1998. So it was right around the year 2000. And the boys had been saving to go to the zoo in Syracuse and to get this equipment. And so they came to me. We needed to raise $8,000 to renovate the building in the square. So how many of you know Hanover Square? This church was in the corner. What's in there now? I don't even know what's in there now. It's what is it? A hairdressing salon. So that's where we were for a year, a little over a year. So we needed to renovate it. And so my boys came up to me and said, Daddy, we want to sow our money. Now, we taught them from a very young age, if you make a dollar, you tithe. If you make $10, you tithe. If you make $5, you tithe. If you make $100, you tithe. If you make $500, you tithe. 50, very good. If you make $1,000 a week, you tithe. You tithe 500. That's a man of God right there. So as we taught our kids to tithe, they came up to me and they said, Daddy, we want to seed. Now, we taught them that young. We taught them seeding that young. We want to seed all of this money. I think it was like $70 or $80. We want to sow all of this money into the new church building, and we're believing God for, and I told them to name their seed. Of course, they said the zoo, and of course, they said those musical instruments. That weekend, I went on an outside ministry up in Utica, New York, And as I was done preaching, the pastor came up to me and he said, you know what? We got like 3 drum kits in this church. Do you want one? And I said, sure. I took the drum kit home, set it up, boom. One part of Chad's is answered already. Didn't have to drop a dollar. God brought the answer. Amen. Seed time and harvest. That year we did our taxes. We were able to buy Cody a bass and buy him an amp. And then we had a man come out of nowhere and said, you know what? I see, you know, you guys don't have a ton of stuff. I would love to take your kids to the Syracuse Zoo. Would you guys be all right with that? And we said, absolutely. And within less than 2 months, those kids got back not only all their seed, but an abundance beyond what they thought they were ever going to get. And if we had to do it ourselves, it would have taken us so much longer. Seed time and harvest always work. Teach your children this. They'll always be prosperous. Teach your children how to seed. Teach your children how to tithe. Teach your children to give alms. And you'll never be able to outgive God. God will always bless you abundantly above all you could even ask and or imagine. Amen. What is considered seed in the Bible? The Lord made a covenant with Noah that seed time and harvest will never cease. This is found in Genesis chapter 8, verse 22. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, and day and night shall not cease. So, what has seed? Here we go. Life of the living. Everything that's living comes from a seed. Plants come from a seed. Animals come from a seed. People come from a seed. When a baby girl is born, she has all the eggs in her body that she will ever use, and many more. Perhaps as many as 450,000 eggs come within the woman. Pretty cool, eh? Matthew 13, the word of God is seed. Genesis chapter 3, verse 16, Jesus was the seed as the Messiah. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21, our words are seed. Galatians chapter 6, 7, and 8, our actions are seed. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6, money is seed. Everything that you have in your life is wrapped up in the seed. What you plant, you shall reap. Don't be deceived. You can't plant bad and think you're going to get good. We control it, actually. I think that's the real cool part. I love the fact that we can control our own seed. I love the fact that we can control how much of a harvest we're going to have. Some people say, well, you know, you're pastors. You just get much more of a harvest than anybody else. Oh, no, 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 don't give me that. Don't give me that. We seed a lot. Therefore, we will always reap great harvest. Yes. Can you sow a seed into someone that does not serve God? No. You can sow an alm, somebody that's poor, but you cannot give to a human that is not in ministry or a ministry. Because remember, good ground where you're going to sow is a place that's producing salvations, healing, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the come on now, more is coming. Come on, shake. Discipleship, thank you very much. I was looking for that word all over the place. Discipleship. So you're seeing the manifestation of God in their life. So there is no seed that can go to an unbeliever. Now you can plant the seed of the gospel in the unbeliever. You can give them the word of God, that is seed, and the seed will increase in their life, but not financially seed. Financial seed is only in ministers or churches that are good ground. And not all of them are good ground. Amen. If you're not seeing the manifestations of the covenant of God in that church, it is not good ground and it's unwise for you to sow. If they're thieves, you should probably not sow there. So you need to be wise where you plant. You just don't take a seed. Because remember, this is not just a seed. This is 2,400 other seeds. I don't say, boy, you know, I think this is a great place. Is that seed going to do anything? Absolutely not. Why? There's no dirt there. If I took it out to the parking lot, dropped it into the parking lot, is anything going to happen? No. It may be in a crack, but is it going to get any root? No. So when the sun comes, it's going to dry it up. So I need to go find good ground to plant that in. And then I need to make sure the crows don't come and steal it. Amen. Protect the seed. Then I'm going to water the seed. One plants, one waters, but God brings the increase. So the principle of the seed is constant and consistent, but there is a need to make sure you plant it where it belongs. Now the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6 through 12, but this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Are you seeing this? That means you determine how much of a harvest you're going to get. Nobody else does. We are blessed because we sow a ton. We do it on purpose because we love to give. There's nothing more fun than giving. And man, when you learn this principle, it is the nature of God. For God so loved the world that he gave. It is the nature of God to give. And so the more you learn this principle of sowing and reaping and realizing you cannot outgive God, it actually becomes very addictive. Now, my wife is far more addictive than I am. So my problem is that I have to tell my wife, don't go to zero. My wife will go to zero constantly. Why? She believes in sowing. And let me tell you, every time she's sown, bam, she has reaped. But baby, please don't go to zero. So there are times that you got to be wise. The Bible says that you should sow sparingly, you should reap sparingly, but if you sow bountifully, you shall reap bountifully. So if you want a bountiful harvest, you've got to plant bountifully. If I plant one seed, I'm going to get 2,400 different kernels. But if I plant this whole thing, let's just say there's 800 on here, would I be wiser to plant the 800 to get a large harvest or just the one to get a small harvest? Depends on what you want. And I like big harvest. Amen? How many of you like small harvest? How many of you want a big harvest? Amen. How many just don't care? That's not true. Everyone cares. People who say they don't care, honestly, are not telling the truth. Everybody cares. We all want to live good. We all want to have more than enough. There's nothing worse than having stress over money. Amen. There's nothing worse than going to bed wondering if you're going to be able to pay your payments the next day. There's nothing worse than knowing you're going to get an eviction notice because you didn't pay the payment because you couldn't make the payment. There's nothing worse than knowing your car's broken and you can't fix it because you don't have the money to fix it. Nobody wants to live where you cannot have harvest and increase. Oh, Pastor, that only works in America, that prosperity gospel. Oh, that's not true. Because as I said a few weeks ago, money is relative. That is, to some countries and some areas, money is how many chickens you got, or how many cows you got, or how many eggs you produce, or how big of vegetables you have. And I want you to know, no matter what trade that God works with, whatever man sows, that shall he also reap. For life is in the seed. And if you sow sparingly, you shall reap sparingly. If you sow bountifully, you shall reap bountifully. You and I make that decision. Verse 7, so let each one give as he purposes in his heart. It is your choice, my choice, to choose, do I want a bountiful or do I want a sparing harvest as I plant and sow? God said, let each one determine in his own heart. That's why many times when we do an offering, you'll find that, well, this church are phenomenal givers. Honestly, you are amazing sowers. We are literally known all over the country as people that treat the guest speakers with the highest level of honor, truthfully. I think the largest gift that you guys ever gave, and that was nobody saying everybody needs to give $112. No. You just gave out of your heart, being led by the Holy Spirit. Largest gift you ever gave in 3 days was over $35,000. Awesome. And you know what? The church didn't suffer a second. And what people sowed, man, the testimonies that came back were just phenomenal. My wife and I love doing that. We love sowing into great men and women of God. So here it goes. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or out of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. If you get somebody up here and there's a guest speaker, I'm giving you permission. Ready? A guest speaker gets up here and says, let me tell you something. You had all better give. You don't give, you're cursed. Or let me tell you, if you don't give this amount of money, there's no way God's going to bless you. And you know, I was so angry one time. I went to a meeting, and as I'm at this meeting, the pastor stood up and said, whoever gives $125 today, I'm going to pray a special blessing on them. I was so mad because I only had 50 bucks in my pocket. I mean, that was every dime that I owned. I didn't have any more money. Some of those people gave $150, and it meant nothing to them. I was like that widow woman. She had two mites, and the man came and gave the wad. And Jesus looked in the plate. How do you know? How do you think he knew what was in there? He watched them give. He looked in the plate, and he said, the man who just gave the wad really didn't give as much as the woman who gave the two pennies. Why? Because the woman with the two pennies gave out of her need. The man who gave out of his wad gave out of his excess. It's not about money. This is about heart. When somebody tries to manipulate you into giving, you need to put the brakes on and say nay. Oh, yeah, you don't have to. In this house, if anybody ever did that, you'd find out. I probably wouldn't pull them down off the pulpit. But you'll find this is that they will never be back again. What's that? Oh, yeah. Whose testimony? Your testimony. Do we have a microphone? Who's got the testimony? You got the testimony. And Joe's got one. Yep. That's all right. You got a testimony? Give it. Good.
Okay, Pastor.
It actually is on. The speakers are not on tonight. But that is on. So they're hearing you in there. That's what matters.
Okay. All right, so one part of my story that not a lot of people here know is a seed was planted, or a seed was sowed, I guess,
yep,
through the gospel with me, with a member of the church about 5 years ago.
Wow.
So that went through, I guess we would refer to as Sister Stacy Wade Mazur.
Yes!
So
Sister Stacy, she planted a seed in your life for the gospel.
So she did that about 5 years ago.
Wow.
And I used to come to church back then.
Okay.
But I wasn't, I was still sort of sorting things out in my life. We'll just leave it that way. So when I returned to church, unbeknownst to her, right? So she didn't know I was back. I eventually attended Uproar, and I was, I guess we would say anointed through Brother Teddy.
Teddy.
Right? So, I received some sort of anointing, which, was just a lot of spiritual healing for me, and it led me to the next part of my chapter, of my next level, really. So then from there, I sowed a seed when he attended service that Sunday. I sowed a large seed with some purpose, with some prayer over that seed. And then from there, the blessings in my life have just erupted. So one part of my story that hasn't been really shared is that I had some damage to my property and to my vehicle and some things in my home. And I was blessed with a replacement vehicle, and I was blessed with a handyman that came into my home and fixed some damage to my property inside my home, which Amen. Would have included like my doors and some drywall and some things that were damaged in my home, including my basement. And then from there, with very little cost, the handyman came into my home and fixed a lot of my property without asking. From there, I was denied a huge grant to update my furnace. So my furnace broke this winter, and I didn't have the money to replace it. So we were getting by without a furnace. And I was denied the grant back in December, and then I returned to his tabernacle in January on a very specific day, which was January 13th, which is my number, by the way. So fast forward to this summer, after all of this happened, after I sowed my seed into the church, a much larger seed than I normally tithe, and through alms that I gave through Matthew 25, and I've been attending the Parks program with donations and such, which most people don't know I did that either. I made a large alm through that. So from there, I received a huge blessing. Our furnace is getting replaced this week.
Woohoo!
So we're getting a brand new furnace through a Chemung County program here that worked really closely with my financial situation and blessed our home. So.
Amen. That's really cool. Mm-hmm.
So that's a lot of blessings.
That's a lot of blessings out of a seed.
I'm probably missing some, but that's what I had to say.
Well, amen. Thank you. I'm telling you, I think who else has a real quick testimony of what they've sown and they've reaped? We got one right here and then there. Yep.
I gave a seed to a parishioner here in church, not naming names, and I said, I'm seeding this for a job.
Amen.
I need a part-time job, and I was doing construction on site. And within 3 days, I got a job for $3,500.
Amen. It worked.
I gave it to a parishioner.
Yeah.
I felt the Lord wanted me to.
Yeah, amen. Here you go, young lady. Oh, okay.
We have one. We normally tithe, but we don't do any alms, like where we give, because we also have that, like, this guy's at Walmart with a car and a dog and smoking his cigarettes. But we discussed it, and we bought him a jug of water for his dog, and we gave him some money, and then we gave him a car to our church, and then we went to church and we did our regular tithe, and we've started seeding on Sunday and on Tuesdays and then on Wednesdays for the Matthew 25 program. And then the week after, we agreed to step out in faith that way. My husband's check was enough to pay all of our bills and Amen. Our gas and our tithe and our seed.
Amen.
So my check was extra.
Amen. Praise the Lord. In the back. I'm telling you, you'll find that when you start talking about seed and people that actually do, man, it works. It works. Go.
I've had a lot of people stay with me over the years,
mm-hmm.
and some of them inadvertently damaged parts of the house. And so this very late spring, my furnace went kaflooey, and I ended up with soot in the air and soot in the walls and stuff. And just talked to my home insurance guy today, and some of the things that are covered are some of the things that were damaged.
Ah.
Totally unrelated from that, but because of the certain soot and stuff. So I'm going to have them absolutely replaced, and they'll be brand new and better than they were before.
Amen.
So God is so faithful.
He is faithful. Amen. Karina's got one.
So I've been wanting to move up here for a long time. Kayla's been up here for probably 10 years,
11, 12 years now.
Yeah. And he's really, really hard to uproot. So I remember asking, you know, God to please show me that he loved me. And just for crying out loud, I want to move to New York, you know. So we ended up going on vacation to Florida. We went with Grace, and we went to Rodney Howard Brown meetings.
Yeah.
And God spoke to me. Well, we had saved up money, and we had all the money in our pocket. And he told us to give all our money.
Yes.
And I'm just like,
that's the problem with carrying it all in your pocket, and you go into an anointed service like that.
And I told him, and he goes, well, he told me to give all my money, too. We hadn't actually hit Disney World yet. So not only that, he leans in and he goes, and God told me to give my shoes. And I'm like, okay, let's do it. So
Amen.
We gave all our money. And I kid you not, on the way home from that vacation, we got a call for a job opportunity up in Corning. And we hadn't even gotten home yet.
God is faithful.
Yeah, he is.
I remember one time, Chris has one too. I remember I was down at Brother Ted's one time, and Bishop came, and I had Harley money in my pocket. You know, I had chrome money in my pocket, $400 chrome money in my pocket. And my wife and I, you know, they asked for a seed, you know, to people to sow. So my wife and I sowed probably $1,000+. And then the Holy Spirit said, I want you to sow all of that Harley money. And I said, devil, in the name of Jesus. And so I went and I took $200 of that money and I put it in the plate. And I stood there and the Holy Spirit said, I told you to sow it all. And I said, no. And he said, I told you to sow it all. They had already taken the plates out. So I was using all the excuses I could. He already took the plates out. He said, go put it on the altar. I walked out, took the $200 out of my pocket, went and placed it on the altar. And before I left camp meeting, God blessed me back with everything that I had already sowed.
All right. It's a little bit of seeding and alms. When I first started, they did a lot of things with the, and they still do a lot of things for the Christmas. And I was kind of a sneaky person, and I would save all my money that I could, keep it away from my wife. and I'm just being honest. I had up to about $500 in my wallet, and I got I saw on Facebook a message saying that, you know, we need more seeding, you know, people to seed in for this Christmas, and, you know, so we can give out and give more and give more. And at first I was kind of like, you know, I'm keeping this for myself. I need it for my plans. We're trying to save for a house. We're trying to save for this, trying to save for that. And it just really hit me. It was December 20th. I'm like, okay, well, God, I'm gonna seed 250, and I'm gonna give an alm of 250 because I don't want the glory. I want to make sure that they get it, but I also want to make sure what I seed I get back. And December 21st or 22nd, just after my son was born, it was the 22nd. Sorry, I called up and I gave some money, and January 1st. They accepted my offer on the house.
Amen.
And they were wanting to have almost $6,000 for closing cost. Well, I ended up only having to spend $2,000 instead of the $6,000.
Amen.
So, I mean, it definitely was, you know.
It works.
It works.
It works. Amen. Bible said, God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you will always have sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. So the plan of God is you're a seeder. What? Hold on, we'll grab Joe in a little bit, okay? So the key is simply this. I'm not avoiding you, Joe. The key is simply this, is that you and I, God said that his goal is that you'll have more than enough. People that say, well, you know, I'm praying just to have enough to make it by myself. There is nobody more selfish than somebody who will pray that. Because if you only have enough for yourself, how can you bless anybody else? God wants you to have sufficiently and abundance, so that you could do every good work. For it as it is written, he dispersed abroad and he has given to the poor. His righteous endures forever. Now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. So what happens is who brings seed to the sower? I remember one, yeah, exactly, God does. I remember one day he spoke to me. I was on my way. I was an evangelist back in those days, and I was going to a church in Big Flats. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me, and he said, I want you to give $100 to the pastor. And I said, God, I don't have $100. He said, am I the one who gives seed to the sower? And I said, yes, you are. So I said, okay, well, God, I thank you for the seed. I'll sow it right back into the pastor. A man walked up to me as I walked in the front door of the church and gave me what we call a Pentecostal handshake. That is, when you shake their hand, there's money here. And when you shake their hand, they feel the money, and they close their hands, and they put it in their pocket. And so somebody gave me a Pentecostal handshake. I opened it up, and it was a $100 check. I flipped it over backwards and wrote, paid to the order of, and I wrote the pastor's name, walked up, gave that same handshake to the pastor, and God gave seed to the sower, and I was able to bring forth a harvest. Isn't that cool? That's what God's job is. So, man, you got to have faith for your seed. Now, watch. If you never have seed, it means you're eating your seed. If God gives seed to the sower, yet you have no seed when it's time to give, it means you've eaten your own. Any farmer that eats all of their seed knows they have no harvest. They have no crop for next year. Every farmer, now, and that's not these days, they buy them in bags. But in the old days, they would make sure they had enough for their cows, enough for their family, and enough to replant in the spring. So they would be able to reproduce. It was a constant reproduction. That is seed to the sower. God said, I bring seed to the sower. And the Bible says, I love this, and will supply and multiply the seed to you you have sown. So God wants to multiply, not just give you back, but multiply the seed that you have sown that he gave to you to sow. So if you have nothing to give in seed, you've got to say to yourself, what did I eat? You always have to have seed. Let me say it again. You always have to have seed. Always. Well, I don't have money. Well, you have something. You have something to sow. Well, it sounds like you're just trying to get it out of me. I'm telling you right now, I'm not giving a dime out. You don't have to give anything. It's your choice. The Bible says, listen, you have the choice to choose whether you're going to have a menial harvest or a bountiful harvest. Don't let anybody try to talk you into it. It's your choice, but you need to be educated by it. So the need is to always have seed. We always have seed available. Well, why is that? Well, because God provided it. I'm not going to eat what he gave me. I'm going to enjoy some of it. But if I eat the whole thing, I've got nothing for the next harvest. So keep that in your heart and your mind. I love this. While you are enriched in everything for all liberality, which causes thanksgiving through us to God, for the administration of this service not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also is abounding through the many thanksgivings to God. So sowing is an investment into your future, whether it be life, poverty, or prosperity. You are sowing your life. I would never have thought I would be where I am. They probably would never have thought I would have been where I am. I was a hellion as a child. But let me tell you, my sister, my cousin over there. But honestly, I am where I am today, and I give God all the thanks for it. And many times I'm in my house, I'm just thanking him for what I have as things. Well, how did I get those things? Well, you know, you robbed the church. No, I've never robbed the church. Let me tell you, how it works is that my wife and I are sowers. Man, we had a man walk up to us when he found out we were getting a house. What, we lived in the same house in Big Flats for 18 years, and we bought a new house or bought a new used house out in the town of Erin. And this guy that I know, we never said anything really to him. I mean, he's a great guy. He said, you know what? I just really feel that I want to sow a Thomas Kincaid signed DNA artwork to you. First piece of art. I have stuff hanging, but you know, you buy them from Walmart. I never asked for it, but it's worth thousands of dollars. He sowed that into our lives. Time and time again, we are always seeing bountiful supply. Time and time again. It is a normal process for our life. Why? Because we've learned that seed time and harvest works, that you can't outgive God. We are tithers, thank the Lord. We give to the poor, thank God. We don't let our left hand know what our right hand is doing. But we've learned that we don't want a small harvest. We want a large harvest. Now, that is relative. To some of you, $50 would be a large sowing. Some of you, $10 would be a large sowing. Some of you, $5 would be a large sowing. It has nothing to do with the amount. It has to do with what you have. And in that, you can literally invest your way out through the kingdom of God, out of poverty and into plenty. I love the bishop. And you know, the bishop preaches this, teaches this. And you know what? He has seen, I think it's 18 people who came into his church. They were on welfare, and now all 18 of them are millionaires. He had this one man that was doing great with his job, and when everything crashed, he lost everything. Lost his house, lost his car, lost everything. And he looked at the bishop and said, I'm going to use the principles that you taught me to use. So, of course, he remained tithing no matter how small it was. And then he started seeding. And all of a sudden, God gave him a creative idea. And he started a business. And he sold that business for over $80 million. It only takes you one idea away from being a millionaire. He did it through the principles of sowing and reaping. The last time I was here, he told you the story about the young lady who had nothing. And he did the daily sowing. And we'll end up doing that because I want to make sure you get this principle where everyone is going to sow daily. You determine in your own heart how much you want to sow. Some of you will sow little. Some of you will sow much. It doesn't matter. It's between you and God. But this lady, when he did that, she says, I've got nothing to sow. And he said, then sow a penny. She said, I'd be too embarrassed. He said, sow a penny. And she started sowing. Then he started realizing she was now sowing a dime. Then she was sowing 50 cents. Then it was a dollar. Then she started coming and giving testimony. She had really no place to live. And all of a sudden, her mother called her and said, listen, if you will live with me, I'm going to buy a condo and you can have it when I die. So now she has a place to live. Somebody came up and gave her a car. And man, she started her own business. And she's prospering and being blessed. But she started sowing with a penny. If you sow nothing, you get nothing. Sow something. Make it continual. Listen, if all you can sow is a dollar a week above your tithe, sow it. If all you can afford is a dime above your tithe, sow the dime. But sow it with purpose. I'm not believing for corn when I'm planting for peas. God, I need more money. Lord, I need a better job. Lord, I just need increase. Lord, I need a creative idea. What are you sowing for? Sow with understanding. The Bible says in the book of Philippians chapter 4, 15 through 19, and you Philippians yourselves know well that in the early days of the gospel ministry, when I left Macedonia, no church or assembly entered into partnership with me and opened a debit and credit account. I want you to hear this. opened a debit credit account account in giving and receiving except you only. So watch, this is what he said. When you are a sower, you're opening a debit credit account in heaven with God. Can't outgive him. As you're sowing, you've opened an account in heaven, and God is saying, yep, there's an open debit and credit account right there for my child. Look what they're doing. They're sowing. They shall reap. That's what it says right here, verse 17. Not that I seek or am eager for your gift, but I seek, but I do seek and am eager for the fruit which increases to your credit and harvest a blessing that is accumulating to your account. Verse 19, and God will liberally supply, fill to the full every need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. So here it is. God provides seed to the sower. I love this. He sets you up for success. He gives you the money to sow. And then he says, listen, when you sow, you will reap. So God not only sets you up for increase, God sets you up for the greater success. Because the seed works no matter what. Every farmer has the principle of knowing that if they're going to sow, they're going to get the crop they've sown. I'm going to hustle a little bit. So this is what you need to do. Ready? We need to determine what size harvest I want. Every one of us in this room, what do you want? I remember I wanted a Harley Davidson. So I said, I want a Harley. My wife said, we can't afford a Harley. And I said, I want a Harley. And I said, I'm going to sow for a Harley. She says, go ahead. So I had $500. The Corning stock dropped out the bottom. I bought the stock. I traded it out, was able to pretty much buy a Harley. All by just doing the sowing. But that was the stock market. Well, the Holy Spirit said, sow there and I'll get you a Harley. Sowed there, got me a Harley. Didn't like that Harley. So I said, God, I want another Harley, one that's bigger. And the Lord said, I sowed. I called the Harley dealership and I said, I want to trade this Harley in. I've only had it 6 months. They said, we'll give you exactly what you paid for it. Walked out with a second Harley. With great shame and excitement, I say, I think I've had 14 Harley Davidsons. I've owned every kind of Harley there is except for a V-Rod and a Sportster. There's a lot of them. I bought some of them twice. Why? Because I can. When I wanted to buy these last Harleys, I know you must have taken it out of the offering, right? Nope, I wrote a book. And I said, you know what? God, I want to write a book. It wasn't even these. I want to write a book? I went to the Harley-Davidson shop, and I started giving a testimony. I said, God's going to give me that Harley right over there. And he says, how are you going to do that? I said, I'm writing a book, and it's going to sell. He says, how many books you got to sell? And he said, and I told him, and I says, he says, that's a lot of books. I said, yep. I said, but watch God do his thing. I put it out there. Within a few months, I walked in and bought another Harley. How does it work? As a man sows, that shall he also reap. When you learn this principle, you can't fail. One time I looked at my boys and I said, my boys were young, and I said, I would like, I want a piece of land to hunt on. I said, I don't mind leasing it. I want a piece of land I can hunt on. I want an ATV. So I took my boys' hands. They were both small. We prayed. We declared. We seated. And, of course, I'm looking, and I find this guy in Orange, New York, leasing 25 acres and butting up to all of that state land. I forgot how many acres, over 2,000 acres of state land, butting up to it. And he said, how about a few hundred bucks? He said, it's just sitting there. I said, sure. And then turned around and bought an ATV at such a discount I couldn't not buy the ATV. And within that short period of time, I had exactly what I wanted. I got just what I wanted. I got just what I wanted. I got just what I wanted from the Lord. I got just what I wanted. There is no doubt about it. I got just what I wanted from the Lord. I'm telling you, when you learn seed time and harvest, you'll never be lacking and you'll never be out. But it's your choice. What are you seeding for? What type of harvest do you want? And then, what are you expecting? What type of harvest do you want to reap? And then as you plant, you want to make sure that you get that ground all ready. I have a little process right in there on page 75. It says this: know the seed, choose the ground, prepare the ground, plant the seed, protect the seed against thieves, animals, and weeds, which is usually little devils. They love to come steal your seed. Pray over the seed, which is watering, then expect a harvest. And I want you to realize you will see what you're believing for. Some of you have never seeded. My goodness, man, this is your education tonight. You need to start seeding. Even if it's a penny, start seeding somewhere above your tithe. You'll never see any abundance until you start seeding. You'll always just have enough to live on. He'll rebuke the devourer, but you'll never have your excess because you're always eating the seed he's given you to sow. So where and what is good ground? Again, it is not to the poor. Seed does not go to the poor. Seed goes to ministry or ministers that are producing good ground. What is considered good ground? The gospel's being preached. Baptism of the Holy Ghost, healing is happening, signs and wonders are a part of the ministry, those type of things you want to sow into. So when I'm getting ready to sow, I don't just sow into anybody. I want to make sure that they're producing. If it's good ground, I'll sow into it. I sow into Brother Ted because I always know that men are going to get saved. I sow into the bishop. Why? Let me tell you why I sow into the bishop. In fact, we sow as a church into the bishop. I remember the very first time we sowed into the bishop, $1,000, the weekly church's income went up $1,000. Every time I've wanted to see increase in this church in the weekly offerings, we sow out of this church into the bishop. Why? Good ground. People have sown into this church, good ground. You will always see a harvest coming out of this church. People will sow into myself and my wife. You'll always see good return out of that. Why is that? Because we are good ground. You want to plant in good ground. Don't just plant anywhere. Don't throw your seed on the ground and hope it's going to take somewhere. Be wise in where you plant. And when you do that, you will always see a harvest. Amen? Questions? We have some online. Three questions online.
One of the questions is a house payment considered a debt?
Is a house payment considered a debt? Actually, what's very interesting is I would love to pay my house off, but it is kind of unwise to pay your house off. And the reason is it's really the only one of the major deductions you have in your life. I was actually taught by a smart financial advisor that when you buy a car, if you have equity on your home, you're wiser to buy the car off the equity of your home than to buy the car from a bank loan. Why? You can deduct the payments. So it is very interesting. It is debatable. The Bible doesn't say so one way or the other. It does say don't be a debtor. Don't be owned by a debt. At the same time, in today's world, very few people have $100,000 in their pocket to drop on a house. So they're going to get a mortgage. As long as you have equity and you can turn it. Now, I don't buy anything unless I can sell it for more than I owe on it. Now, my goal is this year to become debt-free within the next year. And that's what I'm working on right now.
Second question is, can we seed for one thing 1 week and seed for something else the next week? Or do we have to keep seeding for the one specific thing until we get it?
Great question. Can I seed for one thing 1 week and something else the next week? Absolutely. Absolutely. Your seed is determined by you. What you're believing for is determined by you as the individual, not by the week. So if this week I want to sow into Brother Ted so we can get more men saved in our church, and next week I want to sow into the bishop because I want to see a greater return on our finances, well, I have now two seeds in the ground. Can I have two seeds in the ground? Absolutely. How many seeds can I have in the ground? Minimum 800. I can have 2,400 seeds. You could have an acre, 2 acres, 10 acres. Go to Iowa. Millions of acres. Is there any more?
Yeah. The last one that I see is when you seed into uproar, isn't that into unbelievers?
No. When you sow into uproar, it's ministry. So what you're doing is sowing into a ministry. My wife and I sow over $100 a week into Uproar, above our tithes and our offerings and above what we sow anywhere else. We believe in that ministry so much because I believe in the youth that they have to be saved. And so that's one of the greatest sowing that we do is into the teenagers of our region. Yes. Can you sow? I've got to repeat everything you say until she gets the microphone to you.
Can you sow? I've been sowing for this one thing / person for 2 years. Can I stop sowing or should I keep sowing until there's a change?
I want to remind you that when you're sowing for a person, their will is still involved.
Right.
So I perpetually sow if I'm dealing with an individual.
Okay.
Because they have the right to say nay. No matter how many times, every time you sow, the Holy Spirit starts knocking on their heart.
Yeah, well, it's working.
It's working. Praise the Lord.
It's working.
Sow as long as you want.
Okay.
Can't lose.
No.
But you can't outgive God.
It's true.
And he wants them more than you. Questions? Did I bore you tonight? Any questions? Right over here. I think I had a fly in my coffee.
Can a seed ever turn into an alm?
I found him. Yes.
Can a seed ever turn into an alm? Can you always?
No, a seed cannot turn into an alm. It is how it is. It'd be like me it'd be like me taking this piece of corn and taking this water and saying, this is an alm. I want you to turn into a seed. They're different animals.
So, like, if I, for example, like, if I constantly seed into one thing, seed into one thing, seed into one thing, is it, will that seed ever just, will it, how can I say it? After seeding in so much time, does it, and it becomes a normal, is it still seeding?
Yeah, it's still seeding. In fact, Oral Roberts was asked the question by Bishop. Oral Roberts was one of the great teachers of seed time and harvest. He said, what is the greatest, I don't want to say flaw, but the greatest thing, the worst thing the church has ever done that you've seen? And he said, they leave the harvest in the field. So you've got to get your harvest. Call in your harvest. I do that all the time. We minister to 15,000 people a week on TV. I am declaring, and if you come to the 7:15 a.m. prayer meeting, one of the things you hear me pray constantly is, Lord, we pray for a minimum of 5 to 10% of the people that watch by TV are going to come into this church. That would be 750 minimum. 5%, 750 people that would walk in the building, this just 5% of the people watching every single Sunday morning His Word TV.
How often do you have to pray over your seed? Can you just pray once, or do you have to continually, constantly pray? Like
what I do is, because I'm a perpetual seeder,
yeah,
because it's a lifestyle for me, I'm always decreeing over my seed. So I'm not really praying over it. I'm declaring it to be what it is.
Oh, okay.
Because the seed is life in itself. First the head.
Yeah.
You know, first the sprout and so on. It's going to work no matter what, because life is in the seed.
Okay.
It has no choice but to work. So I'm just constantly speaking over it.
That's good, because sometimes it's so automatic, like paying my tithes. I do the seed. It's automatic. Sometimes I pray over it. Sometimes I don't. But I figured since I already named it, it's okay.
Yes, as long as you've named your seed, declared it, that's where it's going to go.
Okay.
Questions? Good class, isn't it? I'll be honest with you. This is stuff that I taught an entire year on, and I have to cover in one night at Rock Solid Faith. You are being cheated from. So please get on the YouTube. You going to give your testimony, young lady?
So this is like a tithing testimony.
Sure.
So I worked at one job, and then I got a different job, so my increase went up, but I never calculated the difference to tithe the proper amount from the increase. So anyway, a couple years ago, I became sick and I was hospitalized for almost like the whole month. And so I was out of work for a couple months, but I was still able to make my payments, like all of my bill payments. So anyway, John Evanzini came.
Yes.
A couple years ago. And he was saying how there was going to be debt cancellation. And if you tithe your full tithe and stuff like that. And so I went home and I like looked at my tithes and I'm like, okay, I'm not tithing correctly. Like, I need to put the whole 10%. So I started that. And so anyway, my medical bills, like, I didn't have insurance at the time. So there was like no way I was going to be able to pay it. And that was like almost almost $95,000.
Wow.
In medical bills. And so I started tithing, and I tried to get insurance, and they're like, okay, well, and so they said that they weren't going to cover my medical bills at all, but then they ended up calling me back and said that they were going to cover it, and they covered the whole thing.
Amen. It is. Debt cancellation is awesome. We're going to get into that, I believe, in the month of October. So our goal is to get you debt-free. How many of you wouldn't mind being debt-free? Amen. And so if you want to be debt-free, you got to start off by tithing. I mean, you can't get what from God if you don't start the get the ground ready. Amen? Yeah, actually, I just share with you real quickly. My wife and I live off 50% of our income. We give and tithe 30% of our income. And then 10% goes into a savings, and the other 10% goes into a retirement. My goal is to live off 10%.
Okay. So, and that was, like, in a short period of time, because my my medical situation, that was all in September. And then John Avanzini came in October, and then I had the testimony by November.
That's fast. One more question right here.
If you work for a company and let's say you have customers, can you seed in them?
No, you can't seed into customers. Seeding only goes into ministries, ministers, people that are producing the gospel.
Okay, so that part, the sowing, wouldn't apply?
Sowing does not apply to anything other than churches, ministers, ministries that are good ground. Okay? Yes.
Online question. If you seed without intention, does God disregard it?
Well, if I just take a seed and I just go like this and walk away from it, what's going to happen? The animals will eat it. You don't even know if it landed on ground. So you got to be wise when you seed. Seeding takes wisdom. It's not just throwing it around. All right. Praise the Lord. Because I can go all night on this. I'm sorry. I see that I'm losing some of you. Let's all stand to our feet. Amen. I remind you, never come to the king's house without a gift. That's your seed. If you weren't able to tithe on Sunday, that's what we can tithe here. You can also tithe online. That works great. And we just love to see you increase. Father, we just speak blessing. Father, thank you for your principles of sowing, reaping, the law of reciprocity. We thank you, God, all the way to our finances, Father, that you want us abundantly blessed. Lord, you say, I pray that you'll prosper in all things and be in good health, even as your soul prospers. Father, we declare blessing over this church that will be the richest church, which means the richest people, God, in this entire region. Lord, raise up companies and businesses out of this church that will employ hundreds of people for the glory of God. That, Lord, we will have a testimony that the kingdom has funded and been part of the success of this region for the glory of Jesus. Lord, we just give you honor and praise. In your name we pray. Amen.